is up? It's The Rant. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Tuesday, October 20th. And how about that? Effin' Kenyon Drake. The dagger for a lot of folks. I can't get over how many fantasy games were impacted by that final Kenyon Drake touchdown, or really by pretty much anything going on in the fourth quarter of the second game last night. That's pretty crazy. And I actually asked people to hit me up on Twitter with screen grabs, whether you won or lost by everything that went on in that game, and it's wild. Absolutely wild. So, hey man, if you lost, you aren't alone, but if you won, go play the lottery, baby. How about it? How about it? Kenyon Drake. So we'll talk about Kenyon Drake on the show today. Well, not him, but Chase Edmonds, and indirectly about Kenyon Drake, because we got to break down the waiver wire for you here as we make the turn. This is the halfway point of the fantasy football regular season, so a pivotal week here and a lot of injury information that is impacting the waiver wire. Before I do that, though, let me tell you about Monkey Knife Fight, our presenting sponsor. Do you like to play daily fantasy sports? Well, you need to check out MonkeyKnifeFight.com. MonkeyKnifeFight.com. Hey, it's the fastest growing daily fantasy site in the world because MonkeyKnifeFight.com is different than other daily fantasy sites. That's because on MonkeyKnifeFight.com, there's no salary caps. You don't have to play against sharks. That means anyone has a chance of winning, even you. MonkeyKnifeFight.com has tons of fun daily contests in all the sports you love: football, baseball, basketball, hockey, golf, UFC, WNBA, esports. Monkey Knife Fight has it all. And you know what else MonkeyKnifeFight.com has? A free $5 game for you just for signing up. And if you use the promo code RANT, you'll have your first deposit matched instantly up to $50. Hey, with a name like MonkeyKnifeFight.com, you can be pretty certain you're going to be, you know what you're going to be getting into. If I could talk, I don't know what I'm getting into. Monkeys, knives, fights, and sports. Sign up and play today at MonkeyKnifeFight.com. Play to MKF and win. State and age restrictions apply. See site for full terms and restrictions. And I said this on the pod yesterday. I'm going to reiterate this. If you're in a state where gambling isn't legal, but DFS is, and there are a lot of those states in the U.S., and Monkey Knife Fight is available in your state, it's not gambling, but it's not the traditional DFS. You know, it has some overlap with player props. So if you really dig player props, I mean, hey, this is a no-brainer here to at least try it out, see if you like it, and use that promo code RANT. That'll help the podcast out big time right here. All right, so let's talk about it. Waiver wire for the week. I'll start with quarterback. And really, there's an obvious player who's fairly widely available, and I'm surprised by this. His name is Ryan Tannehill. If he's out there, I would go 10% on him. He's a rare, you could probably start him the rest of the way type at quarterback, not a streamer type. So, and 10% is a lot. If I'm streaming a quarterback, I'm only going 3 to 5% because streaming can eat up your fab budget really quickly if you're spending too much. But look at what he's done over the last 2 weeks. They've been almost perfect offensively. 59.6 fantasy points, that's the most in a league over the last 2 weeks, and he's only 54% owned. So if he's out there in your league, pick him up. I don't think he'll be out there in two quarterback leagues, but in one quarterback leagues, he's, like I said, fairly widely available. Now, I was going to have Andy Dalton as my number two option, but yeah, last night changed things a little. And I still buy in on Andy Dalton as a QB2 going forward with occasional QB1 value, maybe even this week against Washington. But I have this little cluster of three guys: Herbert, Wentz, and Dalton. And Dalton is at the bottom of that group. But it's all close. It's very close. Remember, you can get my waiver wire rankings over at ftnfantasy.com. But I'm going to go Herbert as the top option, 5% on him. I think he's a QB2 plus. I'm not going to get too crazy. I actually had somebody call into my SiriusXM radio show and ask if they should drop Josh Allen for Justin Herbert. I was like, No. Don't do that. That's a little too extreme. But Herbert should be fairly widely owned now. Now, Wentz, I'm going 5%. And the thing is, I love the air yards for Wentz. I love the matchup this week. If you need a streamer and Herbert's already owned, Wentz is the guy. Thursday night against the Giants, I don't care who's out there, he's going to throw the football. You know, and pretty much nobody's out there. So this is like the 1 week where we can use him. So again, wouldn't get too crazy here. And same thing with Andy Dalton, 5% on all those guys. Moving on to a Tua Tagovailoa. Congratulations, kid. You're the starter in week 8 when the Dolphins return from bye. 3% on him in one quarterback leagues. It's got to be fairly picked over in a little bit of a deeper league. But in a two quarterback league, I'd go 15 to 20% on Tua. He's going to be the starter, and there's no turning back now for Miami. We probably should have seen this coming, like, oh, yeah, duh, the bye week. But anyway, Jimmy G, 1%. He's back in our good graces, in two quarterback leagues especially. And then Kyle Allen, two quarterback leagues. He should be owned for sure in two quarterback leagues because he's done enough to at least have a little bit of a leash here as the starter in Washington. Has a good matchup this week as well. Moving on to running back, I tell you, every week on Monday, what I do is, you know, as I'm going through the games, I make notes on players who stand out. And then I also go and check the ownership percentage on, you know, basically every team for every player who might be available. I was really surprised to see that DeAndre Swift is out there in 25% of leagues. Now, you may be listening, you're like, Ratcliffe, he's not available in my league. Okay, I get it, but I'm casting a wide net here. And either way, he should not be available in 25% of leagues. I think this is only the beginning for DeAndre Swift, so I would spend 30% on him. Jerick McKinnon, 20%. Raheem Mostert has a high ankle sprain. He's going to be out for a month. And I know there's a lot of Jamichael Hasty love out there, but I do think that it's still going to be McKinnon as that sort of RB2-ish play that we saw 2 weeks ago. I think it's gonna he's going to be the guy there. And Jamichael Hasty, I'll talk about it in a little bit. Justin Jackson, surprisingly still widely available. And I'll tell you, here's what happens a lot of times when we reach this part of the season. What people will do on waivers when they go to make their waiver claims. Don't do this, by the way. Don't do this. But they'll go to make their waiver claims and they go ESPN, Yahoo, wherever. And you know what they do? They sort by projected points. And you know what you do when you sort by projected points? You filter out everybody who's on freaking bye week. So Justin Jackson's available in 48% of leagues. What the heck? He's not in any of my leagues, damn it. But yeah, people overlooked him. So put 20% on him. He was the lead the last time we saw them. I don't know if that sticks or not, but he definitely should be owned because Austin Eckler isn't going to be back for a little while. I'll go 12% on Boston Scott. Miles Sanders looks like he's only going to miss a week or two, but he's going to miss this week. So if you're desperate, Boston Scott could still be out there. And, you know, again, solid matchup this week for the Eagles. I'm going 12% on J.K. Dobbins. I'll talk about Gus Edwards in a minute, but this is the time where we cut the trim the fat, baby. Get rid of it and stack your roster, especially your bench for upside. J.K. Dobbins has that upside. Mark Ingram may play in week 8. They're on bye this week. It doesn't really matter to me. I want to own J.K. Dobbins at this point. Philip Lindsay, 10%. Hey, had the opportunity with that weird week for Melvin Gordon. Ultimately, strep throat kept him out of the game. Melvin Gordon's not going to be suspended this season. I highly doubt it. But Lindsay had a 100-yard game against the Patriots. Like, that's not easy to do. If anything, he's earned himself at least a bigger chunk of the committee. And, you know, Melvin Gordon, I mean, hey, if Melvin Gordon goes out again, Philip Lindsay's basically an RB2. 10%, baby. I'll go 10% on Chase Edmonds. I had him initially higher before the game last night, but Kenyon Drake did enough for a little bit of a stay of execution here, and it may be enough to keep the job outright for the rest of the season, but there is such high upside with Edmonds if something happened to Drake injury-wise. 8% on Cam Akers. As I said, I am stacking for upside. He has that upside. I don't care if he played one snap last week. Lat Murray, 7%, still pretty widely available, and so far he's seen 52 rushing attempts. That's only 9 fewer than Alvin Kamara. Now, Kamara is more involved in the passing game, but still, Murray has independent value. LaMichael Perine, 6%, trending up 6 fewer touches than Frank Gore this past week, and they said they're going to get him more worked in. I know I don't really love Jets running backs either, but young running back, upside, down the stretch, even on a bad roster, somebody has to score some fantasy points, right? Somebody has to. Anyway, Damian Harris, 5%. I'm not worried about last week. He'll be the lead back going forward. Just not a lot of upside there. J.D. McKissick, 5%. Don't let the results fool you. Antonio Gibson is still the better player. He's the better fantasy option. They played from behind, so of course they used the passing down back. But he should be owned. Tony Pollard, 5%. Thumbelitis for Zeke on Monday Night Football. I don't think that really changes things going forward, but they use Pollard a fair bit in this game, and I could see that happening a little bit more going forward. I'm not going to worry if I'm a Zeke owner, which I am in a couple leagues, but it's more the premium handcuff value, and then plus if Zeke goes down, Pollard. If Zeke was out for the rest of the season, what would Pollard be today? 50%? Something like that, right? So I'd rather just get ahead. You know, every week on waivers, what do we see people do? They go after the biggest names, right? But really, that's not how you win the game, by paying market value or more than market value, because typically you have to overpay to get the biggest names. How you win the game is being a week or two ahead. You know, some of the most successful fantasy seasons, you know, years ago, the Odell Beckham Jr. breakout year in his rookie season, I picked him up 3 weeks before that, right? And I'm sure you listening right now, you might be able to go and pinpoint the years where you made a big pickup a few weeks before it happened, and then that ended up being the difference maker. I don't know if it's Tony Pollard or not, but I want to take my shot on a guy like Tony Pollard. Brian Hill, 3%. Todd Gurley just doesn't look good, does he? Zach Moss, 3%. Zach Moss didn't look good, but he's one Devin Singletary injury away from a three-down roll. Gus Edwards, 2%. I know, Gus Edwards, Jeff. Gus Edwards outsnapped J.K. Dobbins. Sure, fine. I read the Roto World blurb, too. But Dobbins was the better player. Go back and watch it. Higher upside option as well. But Gus should be owned in deeper leagues. 2% on Jamal Williams. Another one, just take a shot with him. If Aaron Jones went down, he wouldn't be a 50% ad, but he would be what would he be? A 25 to 30% ad, right? If not even more than that. He might go for more than that in home leagues. Corey Clement, 2%. They're going to use Boston Scott more than Clement, but Clement's going to have some value. So if you're really hurting, you could potentially use him with Sanders sidelined. Jamichael Hasty, and that's in a deep league. Jamichael Hasty, 2%. Undersized back. I know they used him a little bit more down the stretch in this game, but with Mostert sideline, I do think it's McKinnon first. We also don't know what's going to happen with Jeff Wilson. We also know, you know, is there Tevin Coleman anywhere? Is he coming back ever? So I'm not going to get too crazy there. Benny Snell, 1%. Not worried about the touchdown that he scored. This is more about just handcuffing James Conner in a good situation in that backfield. That's a potent offense. And then Gio Bernard, 1%. He almost equaled Mixon's snaps, but I'm not worried there. It's just a handcuff option for me. Moving on to wide receiver Travis Fulgham. Apparently, people didn't buy in. They didn't take the cheese on it, but they should have. He's only owned in 47% of leagues. That should change. I'm going 20% on him. He is the clear top target in that offense. And I don't see that changing with Zach Ertz sideline, Alshon Jeffrey being Alshon Jeffrey, Deshaun being Deshaun. I mean, he's going to keep getting targeted. Debo Samuel, 15%. Surprised he's still fairly widely available, but he looked like himself, right? Six balls for 66 yards. 666, the number of the beast. I won't do that again, I promise. Week six, gets in the zone, 15%. T. Higgins, 15%. Why is he only owned in 44% of leagues? I don't get it. 23 targets. 264 receiving yards over the last 3 weeks. Both of those lead the Bengals. Mike Williams, 12%. Again, people sorted and they missed Mike Williams. He's still available in 59% of leagues. He'll be a wide receiver 3/wide receiver 4 going forward. Tim Patrick, man, he is clearly ahead of Jerry Jeudy. Here's the last 2 weeks, or last two games, I should say. Patrick, 10 catches, 15 targets, 214 yards, and a score. Jerry Jeudy, 4 catches, 9 targets, 93 yards, and a score. 10% on Tim Patrick. AJ Green, fine, whatever, 7%. He 96 yards and 8 catches. All right, he got off the schneid. Henry Ruggs, another sorter that we missed if we sorted by fantasy points last week. He's still available in 44% of leagues. Massive upside. Won't see a lot of volume, but love that upside. Keelan Cole, 5%, 143 yards. But here's the thing. Don't get too crazy. Chark out-targeted Cole 14-9 this past week. Rashad Perryman, 5%, 8 targets. The fantasy line didn't look good, but 8 targets, 134 air yards. That's a solid number right there. I I like the upside on the bench, especially once Darnold gets back in there under center for the Jets. Somebody's got to catch the football. Manny Sanders, more of a wide receiver four going forward, so I'll only go 5% on him because Michael Thomas will really dominate the targets. But Sanders is playing good football this year. He deserves to be on rosters. After that, I'll go 2% on Damir Bird. I'm not really buying the Pats passing game, but beggars can't be choosers. And then Marcus Johnson, 2%. He got called up from the practice squad, did a pretty good job. I don't know what this is going forward, though, because every week it's a different Colts wide receiver, it feels like. You know, every stinking week. All right, moving on to tight end. Gronk, baby, Gronk. I love the fact that Gronk got out there. Finally looked like vintage Gronk. 5 for 78 and a score. I'll go 8% on him. Not going to get too crazy, but I think, you know, you're looking at front end tight end 2, if not knocking on the door, tight end 1 territory going forward for Gronk. Hopefully this sticks, though, and it's not just a one-week, one-off type thing. Trey Burton, 5%. Over the last 2 weeks, he's the number 5 fantasy tight end. I don't think that sticks going forward. I don't think he's a tight end 1 just yet, but he is a tight end 2. Oh, yeah, changing of the guard there in Indianapolis. So Trey Burton, pick him up, bro, pick him up. Irv, big Irv, 3%. They're really starting to get him involved. Kyle Rudolph's still there, though, so that puts a damper on things in the passing game there for Irv, but don't mind it. How about this one, though? Dallas Goedert, 3%. He's not going to play this week. This is not a pickup for this week. If you need somebody this week, not Goedert. But why not get ahead of everybody? Zach Ertz is going to be out 3 to 4 weeks. If Goddard comes back next week, where are we ranking Goddard, right? We're ranking him like top 5. I mean, I didn't do my week 8 rankings yet, obviously. But that would be the scenario we were waiting for with Goddard. He was widely dropped. Included, hey, I dropped him in a couple leagues because I needed the bench spots. If he's out there, instead of waiting until next week, just slide in on the cheap. There's a lot of advantage to not focusing on the high-end guys and sliding in on the cheap and getting some of these other guys. There's a lot of advantage to him. Firkser, I barely know her. Jonnu Smith's ankle injury doesn't appear too serious, so don't go too overboard with Firkser. Don't sort by last week's points and be like, oh my God, Firkser's a god! No, not going to do that. Hold list, cut list for you real quick, and then we'll get to streaming defenses. I'm holding Antonio Gibson. I'm not worried about last week's fantasy line. I think he still has looked pretty good this season, so I'm not worried there. I'm holding D'Ernest Johnson. I know we overpaid, a lot of people overpaid for him, but he's just one Kareem Hunt injury away from a massive workload. I'm holding T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton was shattered by William Jackson this week, so a tough matchup for him. Stay the course with him. I'm holding Juju Smith-Schuster. I know his stock is falling. I agree with that. But there is enough meat on the bone in that offense to sustain multiple fantasy wide receivers. So hold on Juju. The cut list, Teddy Bridgewater. He gone. If you held on to him, this is Teddy Bridgewater. This is who he is. Ryan Fitzpatrick, he gone. He's not the starter anymore, so say lovey. Mark Ingram, he gone. Just no efficiency, not enough touches. He's hurt. I need trim the fat, baby, trim the fat. Jerry Jeudy, he gone. Tim Patrick's the only wideout worth owning in Denver. Marvin Jones, he gone. Why are we holding on to Marvin Jones? Because we think that that big game is coming any week. And, of course, once we finally all cut him, he will have 4 touchdowns and 180 yards. Watch. It's going to happen. Anyway, he gone. N'Keal Harry, he gone. I mean, basically invisible this year. I don't really want any piece of that passing game in New England. All right, time for your streamers here of the week. Team defense. If the Bills are available, and they are in 35% of leagues, they are the top ad of the week. They face the Jets. The Jets cannot score. The Jets are allowing 3 sacks per game, 1 takeaway per game. The Bills are going to smash. If the Bills are owned, and they are, they're fairly widely owned. I know that. So here's the thing, though. Some people dropped the Bills last week because they were facing, obviously, the Chiefs last night. So they may be out there. If they're not, go to the NFC East. This is one of the few instances where we're going to like the NFC East this year. The Eagles, the Cowboys, the Giants, they are all facing each other. And so the Eagles are in play against the Giants. Daniel Jones and company, 1.7 giveaways per game. They are averaging just 14.8 points per game. It's a good spot for the Eagles here. It's not the best defense, but remember, bad defenses trump bad offenses when it comes to fantasy football defenses. You know, that's just the name of the game. The Cowboys, they stink. It's a train wreck on the defensive side of the ball. But they are in play against a Washington team that's allowing 4 sacks per game, 1.7 takeaways per game. The Giants, not a good defense. But Philly, look at their offense. Okay, let's just do the rundown here. Carson Wentz has none of his starting 3 wide receivers that entered the season. He has neither of his 2 all-world tight ends. He is going to be without his starting running back this week. He is going to be without multiple offensive linemen. I mean, basically, there's very few starters who entered the season for Philly who are actually still playing. It's crazy. Or at least playing this week, I should say. It's crazy. So go after it. They are the number 5 fantasy matchup for defenses. Carson Wentz being sacked 4.2 times per game. That leads the league. 2 turnovers per game as well. They can put up points. There is that. But you're looking at the turnovers. You're looking at the sacks with that one. So there you go. If you want the waiver wire rankings, of course, you get those over at ftnfantasy.com. Cuts out some of the guesswork for you if you're trying to figure out across multiple positions who you want to pick up. So those, ftnfantasy.com, of course, use the promo code RATPACK to get yourself 10% off on a subscription. Appreciate everybody reviewing the show on iTunes. The plans are in place for a celebration for 1,000 reviews. We topped the 1K mark. Super excited about that and very grateful for everybody who has reviewed the show already. If you haven't on iTunes, please do. The easiest way is if you have an iPhone, simply open up the Apple Podcast app, find my podcast, The Rant with Jeff Ratcliffe, open that up, and scroll to the bottom, click the stars. That's it. You're done. There are other ways to review the show, though, if you don't have an iPhone. Even if you don't listen on iTunes, the iTunes reviews really help. So review, please, please. At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram, use the hashtag RatPack. That way I know you're a listener of the show. And by the way, hit us up with those Kenyon Drake screen grabs if you won or lost based on Kenyon Drake. I want to see it. I do have a tweet. Just go to my profile feed, and you can just respond to that tweet there with all of those pictures. Yay, Kenyon Drake. All right, tomorrow, rankings, projections, all that fun stuff on the podcast. I will catch you on the flip side. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out of here.